Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Folks, we've talked about this topic of population loss here in Louisiana. We continue to lose population, but why are people leaving? Allison Plyer, chief demographer at the Data Center, joins us. Allison, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Allison, obviously population loss in most cases is just not a good thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, generally, local governments and state governments are concerned because, you know, loss of tax revenues and, you know, that makes it harder to fund basic services and infrastructure. So, you know, obviously, that's not a good thing. If we can grow the population, we shouldn't assume that a growing population is always a good thing. That can have some downsides as well, depending on how it happens.
So you've had an opportunity to look for a fairly lengthy period of time of what's going on here in Louisiana. We continue to have this decline. Some folks are saying that it's more focused south of the I-10 because of the challenges that we have from Mother Nature. But it seems as though the data is showing a different picture. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, the first thing that I like to point out to people is because everyone assumes that when we talk about population loss, we're talking about out-migration, but we have to remember that deaths are a part, an important part of population loss. That might not be the topic that everybody tends to think about or want to talk about, but the state
I don't like talking about death.
I know, right? But we have had one of the highest age-adjusted death rates in the country for the last several years. Death rates in the U.S., of course, were elevated during COVID, but were even elevated before COVID and remain elevated because of a number of factors. One is overdose deaths have been skyrocketing. Pregnancy-related deaths are very high. Firearm suicides are very high. And everyone knows, of course, that the number one cause of death for children in our country now is firearm deaths. And that is Louisiana's number one by a long shot on that metric. So there's a number of things that are contributing to high death rates in Louisiana that is something that we could do more about. And it would stem some of our population loss.
So you're saying that Louisiana, when we look at all of these others as it relates to death, on a per capita adjusted basis is number one in the country?
No. Louisiana's not the number one in terms of death. We are number one in children dying by firearms.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's okay. And then we're about number three or four on overdose deaths, three or four on pregnancy-related deaths, a number of things. So we have a very high age-adjusted death rate, meaning for our age makeup, we have higher death rates than other states.
It's amazing because you're right. I don't think most people think of that in the context of population loss, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they don't embrace the breadth and depth of that phenomenon. Because as I hear you talking about it, then I'm kind of going through it in my mind. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. And yeah, I mean, I think many of us have been touched by overdose deaths, right? Or some of these other things. And we know it, and we hear from the news how rampant it is. But sometimes we don't realize, like, that's actually contributing to population loss. And so it's, you know, it's relevant to bring up. A couple of things that might be interesting also to your listeners is that we know that overdose deaths and pregnancy-related deaths go up when we have extreme weather. And so there's a connection there between a lot of the disasters we're experiencing and the extreme weather and the fact that our state has very high rates of death because some of these new phenomena.
Interesting. I guess it's the angst, the anxiety, how much damage you've experienced and whether or not you're going to be able to pull yourself out.
Yeah, certainly. You know, Louisiana has had more disaster declarations in the last 3 years than any other state by a long shot. And, you know, we all kind of are getting used to the hurricanes. Well, who could ever get used to it, really? But we forget about the deep freeze that had happened in the north part of the state. We had, you know, wildfires last year. And our anxiety rates have consistently been the highest in the nation in the last 4 years.
Interesting. So when we look at other contributors, you were quoted in an editorial piece by NOLA.com the other day saying some of our public not working well for this either.
Right. And so, you know, the other thing to think about when thinking about population loss or growth is how is our economy doing? Because if we're creating jobs, we will attract someone to come fill those jobs. Even if some people leave, other people will come, et cetera. And the literature really points to something that we often overlook, which is educating our workforce. That there's a lot of literature that says, you know, the more educated workforce we have, the more our economy will grow. Businesses will want to come here. People coming out of those programs will start up businesses. And yet Louisiana has cut our higher education appropriation by a third, the second largest cut across the nation since 2008.
So that's working contrary to what all the data shows, obviously. And then we continue to rank in grade school education 49th or 50th.
Right. It is harder to compare grade school education outcomes across the nation, but we generally are performing quite low in all that as well. Yeah.
So we often focus on crime. I spent 40 years fighting crime. That's, you know, the number one, number two issue in almost every public opinion poll that's out there over those years. What kind of an influence does that have on population out-migration?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, of course, you know, one can find anecdotes, right, of people leaving because of concerns about crime. But I think there's two points to remember. Again, if there's a job that person left, someone's going to come fill that job, right? So you can have churn in the population because of crime. But if there's an economic opportunity, generally, people will come to fill that. So the other thing is, too, you know, the crime that we had during COVID was a big blip. It was very scary. It happened all over the country this exact same way. Every single city across the country had the same dynamic. It has now gone back to pre-COVID levels, so not nearly as extreme as it was. And yet somehow, you know, the concern about it keeps circulating as though we've got, you know, that kind of blip still going on. But we don't. The numbers are all way down to about pre-COVID levels.
What kind of contribution do you believe that this insurance crisis that we're in right now? I don't think it's reached its maturation yet. I think the impact is growing every year, and I, for one, believe that it's going to get worse before it gets better. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you summed it up well. I think looking ahead, what we can anticipate and actually see in sort of like the southern parts of like the Foulche and Terrebonne already is that, you know, insurance can ultimately drive some folks out. And what happens, though, is that rich folks may decide to self-insure, and then poorer folks don't have, you know, don't know folks in other parts of the country and don't have the money in the bank to launch a move. And so you see that the middle class will leave, actually abandon their asset because they can see the writing on the wall. Insurance is going to keep going up and they're better off just going somewhere else to bring those costs down where they can get a job or whatnot. Whereas the rich folks will stay and self-insure and the poorer folks will stay because they have nowhere to go and can't afford to leave. That's not where New Orleans is at right now, right? Or even the metro area. Obviously, insurance rates are going up. People are frustrated. There may be some folks who have left because of that, but somebody came and bought that house, right? We're not seeing people abandoning their assets, right? So when people say to me, oh, is insurance driving people out? And I say, no, not right now. Because we've got people coming and actually buying those homes or ultimately, you know, no, people aren't really abandoning assets yet. But over time, that definitely could be a problem, and it would have a sort of a bifurcating effect on the population.
One of the other big issues, population migration shifts or economic strata, right, where the out-migration of higher-income individuals is greater than the in-migration of that same class. What do you see in Louisiana?
Yeah, you know, the numbers don't really allow us to answer that question. We can't, again, see, like, who's moving out versus who's moving in. What we can see is, like, oh, does the median income go up or down? And then that gives you some idea of, you know, how things are changing. I'm not anticipating that like just high income people will leave and poor people will stay. In fact, you know, when a place has an appeal, high income folks will stay and simply self-insure. And we see that along the coast of Florida. We see that along the southern coast of Lafourche and whatnot. Maybe it's companies that have a camp, right? And they put it in an LLC and they just self-insure it. So I don't think that it'll be all high-income people leaving over time and poor people.
And I don't know if you have seen data on this or you know the answer to this question. But when we think about like Florida with higher-income people that are willing to self-insure, how much of that is because there's like no state income tax? I mean, obviously, in some states, it's about 6%. Maybe the blended average is going to be somewhere around 4, but you have states that are as high as 5, 6, 7%. And if you're in a state where you have no state income tax, you think you're more likely to stay self-insure as opposed to move?
It's hard for me to even guess how that would play out, honestly. I know in Texas there's lower income tax, but really high property taxes. So I don't, you know, that's, I can't even think of how that would factor in.
Yeah, I just didn't know if you had seen any data on that, you know, as to the connection there. We know that the in-migration in those states in large part are very much influenced by tax policy, right?
Oh, I suspect that there's a lot of other things. I know people like to think there's one silver bullet on migration.
Well,
like,
it always is.
Policy would change, but it's not that way.
Yeah, but it's always a confluence of things. But, you know, when you have these outliers where, you know, economically it's a big, big number for folks when you're not paying state income tax.
Right, yeah. But, you know, generally, again, what tends to drive population is job growth. And someone will come to fill the job. So, I mean, I guess if we're talking about retired people, obviously there's a lot of draw to Florida, you know, I couldn't really speak to what brings people to Florida or not.
Yeah. So the final thoughts on Louisiana and its population loss challenge.
I think it's a challenge that our leaders need to really take seriously and think about how to handle it, not with just a silver bullet. You know, there's not going to be just one thing that's going to solve it. We do know when we look at the history that, we had a growing population until the oil bust. Understandably, a bunch of folks left when all those jobs were lost. But then the population started growing again. We had a drop at Katrina, but we had a lot of population recovery after that. And now to see these consistent year estimates of drops without a major shock, right? But instead with a whole bunch of little shocks, I think for a bunch of years we've been dealing with a lot of shocks, and they're just going to keep on coming. So we really need to think hard about how we're going to create population growth and robust prosperity with the shocks that we're getting. We need to think about that.
Absolutely. Allison Plyer, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great week.
Yeah. You too. Thank you so much.
All right, folks, that's Allison Plyer, Chief Demographer at the Data Center. We'll be right back, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.